was just really like all this gunk. And she had to leave every time we talked to her. The last time she had to go to the bathrooms, you know, get a tissue and everything. And so this time around, she goes, remember the last time you prayed for me? I was healed right after you prayed for me outside, because her ride came to get her, but we had to leave because we were with her for a while. But we prayed for her, and she was like, oh, yeah, the last time you prayed for me, I was healed from that, and I got all better. And I had to go get my prescription filled, but I didn't need to. The doctor said it was supposed to last for 7 to 10 days. But, you know, after you prayed for me, it worked better. So it was like, awesome, Lord. And we got to minister more to her and more just of the Father's heart. And the art gallery closed, and, you know, we went all along our way. But she was really blessed, and so... that was really cool. It was a blessing to me, because just to see somebody that we ran into the last time, and that she even testified before I asked her, so she was just touched by God, and it was really cool, really awesome.
Yeah, last week, after that awesome, powerful service, that went over to the skate park afterwards, and was there in downtown Canton, a place called Evolution Skate Park. And had a great time, skated for quite a while with a bunch of kids that I didn't know. And afterwards, I'm hanging out in the skate shop, and I'm about to leave, and I just asked the Holy Spirit, what do you want to do here? You know, what do you want to do? And I felt this impression. He said, you know, ask if anybody has pain in their body. And so I just said, hey, guys, I'm about to leave, but is there anybody in here who has pain in their body? And they're like, what are you going to do if we do? I said, well, I was teaching some kids today about healing, and I really believe God wants to do something here. And turns out one kid had pain in his ankle, and it was really bad. And so I prayed for him, and nothing happened. Prayed a couple more times, and the pain finally left completely. And his friend who was sitting right next to him was like, wow. I said, do you have pain in your body? He goes, yeah, I do. I have some pain in my wrist. And I prayed for him a couple times, the pain left. And then his other friend had just broken his ankle. And I asked him, I said, do you have any pain in your body? He said, yeah, I do. I just got a cast off my ankle, and I don't have much flexibility in it. And now, mind you, this is a skate shop, okay? Not a good environment, okay? These kids were getting testified of the goodness of God. Yes, and every time Lord. God did something, I put it to the test. I said, you know, God wants to do something here, and because he loves you, because he's so good. And the one kid got... prayer a couple times, and he increased healing in his ankle, his broken ankle. I looked over at this kid who was standing right next to me on his bike. He's sitting there like this watching it all happen. And I said, is there anybody in here that wants to rededicate their life to Jesus or give their life to Jesus for the first time? They're like, no. I looked at this one kid. I said, how about you? Because he was taking this all in. The look on his face was, what's happening here? How could this be happening? I said, this is really touching you, isn't it? He said, yeah, this is really touching me. And I started to testify to them about the goodness of God and how good he is and how he's right there with them and how he's just looking for ways to build them up and take them through life. And I went out to the parking lot after that, and I saw a kid that I was skating with who took a really, really bad fall. And I said, hey, man, how you doing? How's the pain? He said, it's really bad. I don't feel it unless I touch it or bend over. I said, there's three guys inside that just got healed of pain. Would you like to do an experiment with me? He's like, yeah. So I prayed for him, and he got increased flexibility. He was about to go about halfway down. We prayed again, and he's able to go all the way down to his toes. And I started testifying to him about the goodness of God, about the Father's love, and how much Daddy is such a good God. And I looked over his friend right next to him, and I said, hey, how about you? Do you have pain in your body? And a little revival going on. And he said, yeah, I've got pain in my wrist. I fell the other day. So I asked him, I said, there's something you can't do right now. So I said, why don't you lean up against your car and see if there's any pain? He leans up and immediately he winces with pain. I said, let's pray right now. So I just took his wrist and prayed for him. And immediately the pain left and he didn't have any pain. And I got to testify to these kids about the goodness of God right there at this skate park. And you know, just told him, I said, you know, you guys may sometimes feel like rejects or outcasts in life, but God does not treat you that way. He doesn't see you that way. He's right there with you, and he wants to teach you guys how to make good decisions. So when you go through life, you'll know that he's right there with you, and you'll know how to make solid decisions. And you'll look back and say, you did this. And so I just wanted to set them up for success, set them up for salvation, and with the intention of going back. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
It's good, Lord. Yes, Lord.
It's so good. It's just, yeah, it's just,
love, Lord.
There's freedom in your house,
Papa.
Father, all we need is you. Those words are so full of life, so full of hope, so full of destiny. So full of destiny, Lord. And you desire our everything, Lord, in response. You're desiring a response from us as we cry out and say, all we need is you, and you respond to us, and you are asking for our response to grow. And that response that we release, Father, is part and parcel of what you give us, Lord God. What you give us in order to grow and hunger after you more and more. Because that's the posture of our heart that you release to us. Only you can release that. So we thank you today. We thank you that you release us into a new place where all we need is you, is really the cry of our hearts. Not ambition, not what we can do, not what we can accomplish, not what we are all about, but what you are saying, what you are doing, what you are all about, Lord God, so our focus is on you, that all we need is you today. All we need, all we need. We need you to enter into our circumstances. We need your love. We need your revelatory help inside of us, Lord God. We need to understand that everything that you release to us, Lord, comes from heaven, comes from your hand. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. On this very special day, Lord, that we honor the mothers all over the world, Lord, we thank you that you have a mother's, father's heart, and all of the love from a mother to a child, all of the love that you birth on the inside of a mother's heart to be able to birth and raise up a child, Lord, we know that that love comes from you. We celebrate all the mothers around the world today that have carried your seed of promise and your seed of hope on the inside. We thank you, Lord, that that love that comes from you is amazing love, because you understand and you are the love giver. You are the love releaser. Any love that we demonstrate to anyone comes from you, through a mother's heart, through a father's heart. But today we especially celebrate the moms, all the mothers, Lord God. You have designed the family. You have designed us, Lord, to know your ways, to know that you have a family heart towards us. And we thank you, Lord, that all of us are standing here today because we've had a mother give us birth, and that comes from you, and a father as well. So we thank you, Lord, for the design of the family today. We thank you, Lord, for your family heart. We thank you for your mother's release and father's release inside of us, for the children that have been born throughout the ages, Lord, as a result of your family plan and those coming. All are destined by your heart to be kingdom leaders and worshipers, those who would carry your love to the ends of the earth in whatever way you would design. We just praise you, Lord. We praise you for that. We thank you for that. We thank you for new life in this house today. We thank you, Lord God, for the lives that are to be birthed yet, that you have already foreseen before the foundation of the world. And we thank you, Lord, for all the lives of the children and the grandchildren and the great-grandchildren, Lord, that have gone home to be with you. We thank you for their lives, Lord. Live on. We thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord, you are the giver of life, the giver and releaser, and all we need is you. Can we just sing out again, all we need is you, Lord, as the posture of our hearts today? All we need, Lord, is you. All we need is you, Lord.
Yeah.
container of roses, and we want to bless all the mothers today. Those of you who have carried life, we just bless you. And we know that can be bittersweet for some. Lives may have been ended prematurely. You may have some heartache attached to that, and the Lord says, I celebrate you because life comes from me. So we celebrate you as the carrier of life, and we just thank you for standing for life and carrying the children that the Lord has released from heaven to us. We bless your name. All the mothers and grandmothers and maybe great-grandmothers in here, we just celebrate you today and we say thank you. Thank you for standing for life. We bless life in this house. We thank you for life, oh God. We thank you for all mothers just being lifted up, Lord God, because you have designed us to carry life, Lord God. So we thank you, Lord. We release life over this house. Life and thanksgiving, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the lives that have been drawn by your hand in this house. Thank you, Lord. Some of you may have had a premature end to some lives, and the Lord says, I celebrate you today. Take your flower and hold on to it because I am God, and I love you. And I love you, and He takes care of all lives. It takes a special mother's heart to love life that the Lord releases in us. And the Lord gives us and releases that mother's heart. I just encourage you to just stand for mothers today. So Lord, we just celebrate you and celebrate life in Jesus' name. Yes, Lord. Father, we just praise you this morning and we thank you that as we celebrate you, we continue, Lord God, to feast on your goodness, feast in your word. And we just thank you, Lord God, that as we continue today to just revel in your love, we know, Lord God, that you are with us. You are with us. You are with us. You know, when we first came in this morning, we had Jamie and Peter had given a testimony of life when they had encountered some who needed healing. And we're just so grateful to the Lord for the healing virtue in this house and what's been released. And we just thank you for that. And we just praise you, Lord, for what you've done. And we know that many more healings are coming even this morning. And we just thank you, Lord God, that He just wants to bring healing in this house. So as we transition into the Word today, we just want to ask if anyone here needs any healing. Anyone here need healing in their bodies today? Yeah, if you do, would you just come on up here? Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. This is a day of healing and hope. When we celebrate mothers, you know, it's we know that we set apart a day But every day should be a day, as my daughter-in-law and I were talking about, and it was a good word. But every day is a day to celebrate and honor mothers and fathers and those who in our midst who are givers and sustainers from the Lord's help of life. Wow. So there's a lot here that need to have healing. That's amazing. So we just thank you, Lord, for the healing that have taken place. Where did Jamie go? Oh, she's here. You need healing too? Okay. Yeah. Yeah, Jamie, I know that half the church wasn't here when you shared. So how about briefly sharing again what you shared before?
We were at First Friday, and we were able to go into an art gallery where this woman is always seated in front of two guitars that are playing. And in the winter when we went, I believe it was February or March, maybe it was really cold. And this woman had bronchitis, and when we went to talk to her, the Lord led us to her. I think it was Rebecca Johnson and I. And she just was hacking, and just a lot of gunk was being spit out, and, you know, had to go to the bathroom a few times, even when we were speaking with her. But she came back, and right before she left, we really just wanted to minister healing to her, just as the Lord would lead, and we prayed for her, and there was no evidence sign right then at that moment, that day, but 2 months later, I think maybe 3 months, last Friday, we see her again in the art gallery, and we go in, and I saw her at first. I'm like, hey, I forgot her name. Her name is Michelle, and I gave her a hug, and without even asking, she goes, you remember when you prayed for me? Right after that, I was healed. You know, the doctors told her it was 7 to 10 days that she would, and she also needed her prescription filled, and she went to go, but she didn't need it because she was healed right afterwards, and so she was testifying to that. She's like, I was healed, and we're like, yes, you were. So it was just awesome, and it was really a blessing to my heart just to see that the Lord is good, and He's very faithful, so... Sure. Lord, we just thank you for your healing virtue in this place, Lord God. Father, we thank you that 2,000 years ago, Lord, you hung on a cross, Father God, and you were bruised for our iniquities, you were bruised for our infirmities, Lord. You were beaten, Father God, and your blood, the blood that was poured out for us, Lord, it wasn't for nothing, Lord. We don't take that for granted, but we take hold of what is ours, what you paid for, Lord God, on the cross. We take hold of that, and we receive that healing gift. That's such a precious gift that you've freely given to us, Lord God. So we have the faith, and we believe, and we step in, and we pull down, Father, the promise of healing, Lord God. And we thank you, Lord, that name, every person, Lord God, that has any type of sickness or disease or virus or infection on their body, that it just goes right now. We take authority because the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives inside of us. So we take authority. We take authority, and we call down from heaven what is ours, because we're your children, God. We're your children, and you love us so much. And it is your good will. It is your good will, the Father's will, to see your children whole and restored in Jesus' name. So we receive from you, Father. We receive that healing from you right now, Lord God. And we say no to the enemy. We say no more. No more. You cannot touch our bodies, because we're children of the living God. We're children of the living God. And we take hold of what is ours. What is ours? Because we're your kids, God. So I thank you, Father, in Jesus' name, that the blood of Jesus that was shed and poured out, Father God, 2,000 years ago on that cross, when they nailed your hands to the cross, and they nailed your feet to the cross, and they placed a crown of thorns on your head, you said, it is finished. You said, it is done. It is done. And 3 days later, you rose from the dead, and you conquered death, you conquered sin, and you conquered, Father, diseases and sicknesses, and you said that we have the power to do the same, that we would lay our hands on the blind and on the sick and on the lame, and that they shall rise up and rise up, rise up, rise up, rise up, rise up, rise up. For the Lord is our healer. You are our healer, God. You are our healer. We receive from you, we receive from you, we receive from your precious hand, oh God. Just Just lift your hands up. Just lift your hands up. If you're in this place and you have something on your body, if it's something internally that cannot be seen, just lift your one hand up and put the other on that place. You have the Spirit of God living inside of you, who raised Jesus from the dead, and He's living inside of you. Let Him rise up. We declare healing in this place. We declare wholeness in this place, Lord God. And we thank You in Jesus' name that it is done. It is finished. It is finished by the power of Your precious blood. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord.
Receive that wave of love right now, that wave of healing virtue right now. Ow. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Ah. If you've had a change right now in the midst of this, just raise your hand. Just flag your hand. Do you want to come share that? Okay.
I've been battling upper respiratory allergies and bronchitis and everything for about 4 months now, and this morning it was like I was like a rawness in here, and you know, like you were saying about the lady, just fell a lot of gook and junk in there. And while I was standing over here, I took a deep breath, and a lot of that leave, and it feels a lot more clear in there now. So I praise God and receive all of it.
Anybody else? Just check yourself right now. Could this happen through a prayer? Through the presence of God? You bet. You just heard the testimony. Yes, Lord.
My jaw, I don't know what happened, but it was just, when I eat into bread, it might be that my jaw shifted in the wrong place. I don't know. I've had problems with it before, and Christy knows about this. We've been praying, but I didn't feel it before we prayed, but I felt like a little bit when I really tried to do it. It's like, let's see if it's there. I want more healing. And like I'm lifting it like really, really wide, and it would hurt like right here. I don't know what part of my bone that is, but it's like it's gone. Like, and I tried it before too, just to make sure before we prayed. So it's gone. Hey, Lord.
Can't wait to see these on the website. All right, who else? Who else is feeling a change right now? Just come on up. If you are, the Lord's building faith, releasing faith. I know I've been battling the last few days a urinary tract infection or a bladder infection or something that's been very distressing, painful, you know, just really pulling me down, where I'm feeling very, very tired, very weary, and in pain and all of that. And it's been a rough go in the last couple days. And I just felt a wave just sweep through me as this prayer was being given. So glory to God. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Jesus. Anybody else? Well, Lord, we just say more right now. We're just believing for the more to come. Thank You, Lord, that You finished what You've started. We thank You, Lord God, that our faith is rising, Lord God, and just agreeing with what You're doing and what You're releasing in this house. Thank You, Lord. Father, for anybody, is there anyone who's been battling cancer in this place? You had any kind of cancer report or wondering at all? Yeah, come on up here. Thank You, Jesus. Anybody else? Anybody else with cancer? Okay. 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 We'll just stand in the gap for her right now. We just rebuke that spirit of cancer in the name of Jesus, Lord, that this young lady will live and not die. And Lord, that no hospice will take her, Lord God, as this lady stands in the gap in the name of Jesus Christ. I just thank You, Lord God. Thank You, Lord God, for her in Jesus' name. Thank You, Lord. Yes, Lord. anybody else? Yeah. Thank you, Lord, for life. We just praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You can go back, take your seats, and just praise the Lord. Just keep thanking the Lord for what he's doing. Yeah, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We're going to release the Kingdom kids here to Kingdom Land. Just a moment. So, do you have a healing testimony? I don't know. Good. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. Well, Pastor Bill's getting ready. You can go ahead, Michelle, to share.
Just another healing testimony. I hadn't shared it yet. Bethany and I were downtown on National Day of Prayer. I don't know where Bethany is, but we're like, let's go find some sick people. And there were two people walking away, a couple with canes. They looked to be in their 40s, maybe early 50s. And they both had leg problems in different legs. And so we said, can we pray for you? And they were very open. Sure, but, you know, don't really think anything's going to happen. It's been like this for 14 years. And so we prayed for Bethany prayed for the woman. I prayed for the man, Pat and Mark. And the woman first, she was like, wait a minute, my leg feels really, really heavy. What's that? We said, it's the glory. And then we explained what the glory was and the presence of the Lord. And she said that she felt the pain completely leave her leg and that she could walk, you know, with more strength and without her cane. And so she was really excited, but Mark was still kind of like, yeah, you know, that's great, but it's not for me. I just don't think it's going to happen. I've prayed before. And so I said, okay, well, go ahead and go. But Mark, I really believe the Lord wants to heal your leg. So if you feel better as you're walking down the street with your cane, just wave your hand. So they get to the corner and he turns around. He looks at me. He's like, I can't believe it. All the pain in my leg is gone. I feel like I have all this strength. It was crazy. So the Lord is good. And we got a picture with him too.
Yes, Lord. Another healing testimony. Who here goes to Total Living Center on Tuesdays? All right. We need to find out exactly who it is, but I do accounting stuff for the Bartos and for Total Living Center. I was at their house about a week and a half ago, and Pastor Bartow, if you know him, he's a fun-loving guy, wears a collar and everything, believes in healing. They have a healing service every Wednesday night, and so they see God doing some amazing things. But he said to me when I was over there a week and a half ago, he said, your team from Frontline was there like a couple weeks ago, and they prayed for some lady. At sickness or infirmity, he didn't give the details at that moment, said, and she came up to me like a day later. She said she was completely healed. So I said, well, you need to find out who that lady was. So, team, when you guys are there, if you want to connect up with Pastor Bartow, find out. Were you? You know which one it was? Or okay. Definitely. So go God. Amen.
The healing testimonies are increasing in this house, and that's to the glory of the Lord. And we do encourage you to submit those so we can get them online. Don't worry about, you know, I know sometimes people think, well, I don't want my name. Just put your name. It's not a problem. It's not about the name. I've prayed for scores of people that have been healed, and I've never got one on the website because that's my excuse. I'm too busy. So all of your names are on there. But I would ask that if you have been in a service in the last 6 years here where you have been prayed for, there's been a healing prayer or there's been some prayer, let's say, with myself involved in any way, shape, or form. If you could just let me know. We're just trying to, I'll tell you why later, but it's for the sake of the kingdom of God and for glory, not for any man's glory. So if you would just come up and let me know, not right now, but later, that would be awesome.
Glad we have some testimonies. You know, people actually meet in church, no testimonies. Remember back many years ago, they used to say, okay, time for popcorn testimonies. Anyone ever hear about that? Yeah, I see a few heads shaking. Popcorn testimonies. You were supposed to jump up and give a quick testimony. We didn't even have a bag full. I mean, it just wasn't that great. It was like a couple kernels. But now, in these days, it's popping everywhere. I love it. Bags full of testimonies. In fact, when you go to speak, you have so much to say, and you think, it's Mother's Day. You can't do that. I have so much revelation today, I'm almost afraid to speak. Because God is teaching me so much, I'm almost afraid to open my mouth because then everybody's roast gets burnt. That's not so good. So we better pray. Father, we thank you that you can sort this out, Lord. My heart is full and overflowing. And that could be a problem, or it could be great. If you can please carve down this large turkey, Lord, to a serving piece. A serving piece that's going to fill up each person, Holy Spirit. Fill them up. And Lord, may it grow to a turkey inside of them. Not that they're turkeys, Lord. Sorry about this. But Father, we just thank you that you can feed us today from your Spirit. That's what I'm asking. Feed us more than from my words, but from your Spirit to each person's spirit here. That's what I'm asking. I know you can do it because you've done it before. I think you're giving me a strategy. Start at the end of the message. Start at the end of the message. Okay, thank you, Father. We give you the praise. We honor you in Jesus' name. So, you know, rather than work up to a great big point at the end, I'll just give you the point at the beginning. And then everything else is dessert. That works. That can work. Let's see. I'll just go right to the end of my notes. And there's a passage. It's Galatians 3. 28 and 29. I want you to look at that. This is what I was going to end up with. If the ladies don't have this memorized, you should. It's good. I feel like I'm in a windstorm. Must have it too high. I preached on this passage in India at a women's conference. I was the guest speaker. Mary Pat was the main speaker. You know what? I'm convinced that men should speak at women's conferences. I'm convinced of that. And so I actually... Pastor Mary Pat didn't force me into that. I know some of you, as soon as I said that, you thought, oh yeah, Pastor Mary Pat kind of, you know, just called on you at the women's conference. But actually, I thought it was a great idea that I speak there. And I told the other pastors that they should come, the men pastors. They should come to the women's conference. And they said, well, you know, are you going to be coming? I said, you bet, I'll be in the front row. In fact, I'm going to be speaking at the women's conference, so you should come. Wow. That's a change for me over the years. I'll just admit that right now. When I came into the body of Christ back in the 1970s, the big thing was men becoming head of their families, of the church. Leaders, because back then, and it's still true today, the women were doing the ministry, except for preaching. They were doing much of the ministry. More women were going to the mission field than men. More women were involved in church than men. And so they were telling the men, you need to step into your headship. You need to step into being spiritual. Well, how many know you cannot just tell somebody, get spiritual, buddy? So there were congregations all over the United States and probably the world. I didn't travel the world back in those days. That were saying to men, step up, man up, become a man, get in positions of authority and rule. You wimps. If you don't, the underlying thought was, the women are going to take over. One of these days, they're going to read passages like Galatians 3, 28 and 29. They're going to take over. So step into your headship and rule, man. And that continued into the 80s. And they're still with some of it in the 90s. And I guarantee you, in many churches this morning, it is that way. Men, step up. Because the women are doing the good stuff and you aren't spiritual enough in your house. You aren't spiritual enough in the church. We need men leaders. Come on, man up. Stand up. Probably even on Mother's Day, they're crying out to the men, please, step up, step forward. Now, you know, that's not a terrible thing that we're telling our men to be spiritual or aspire to being spiritual. But it's been, for decades, for the wrong reason in many cases. You don't want the women to take over. I mean, after all, in the New Testament, the man is the head. He's the ruler. He's in charge. So, in 2005, we started church right off the top with a man and a woman in equal authority, leading. We didn't know what back then. Because the Bible study we had people from all different kinds of churches. And we took them overseas on trips, and it was a ministry, an official ministry. But we didn't know what it was going to be as far as a church, but we knew one thing. It was not going to be the man at the head and the woman, oh, we might even call her Pastor Mary Pat, but she would be doing all the lady things. The problem was, she didn't play the piano, the organ, or the keyboard. Doggone it, the only thing she was really good at was salvation, healing, and deliverance. Jeez, who knew? You know, that she was going to just bust loose like that and not take her place. You see, back in the garden, you gals were demoted. You probably realize that. You were demoted. You started out in equality. When Eve was taken from the body of Adam, Adam said, this is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. He felt she was one with him. He didn't have a problem with that. Not a problem at all. Both of them walked with God in his presence. Neither was like, I got to be the head. No, you got to be the head. No, I'm the head. No, I don't want to be subservient or submissive. I want to be the head. No, you can't be the head. None of that was going on. They didn't even know they were naked. Unashamed of the whole arrangement, living in purity and joy and oneness with God and oneness with each other. And Adam didn't go around saying, "What, you're just a rib. Just a rib." Because she could have said back to him, "You're nothing but mud. At least I'm a rib." Some of you are just getting it now. Okay, that's okay. They didn't have any of that. They were in complete oneness with each other, oneness with God. They ruled over everything on earth. It's awesome. Oh, and then Eve listened to deception. Eve. Hear that, girls? Eve. Now, Adam blamed her. She owned up to it, by the way. Yeah, he deceived me. The enemy deceived me. Adam said, "Her fault. I'm not with her anymore." There was dissension that came in because of sin. And both were punished. Now think about it. Adam was created by a creative word of God. Right? Isn't that true? Breathed his breath into mud, and there came Adam. Eve was also creative, brought out of a rib. Fashioned a person. All created by God. But now Eve is cursed, and she has to have children out of her body. Wouldn't it have been great, gals, if God just kept on that creating thing? Creative life. Wouldn't that have been a lot easier than what mothers have gone through to have children? And nowadays, there's more options, If it doesn't hurt enough in childbirth, then you're sliced like an orange. I mean, wow! No wonder we should honor you today. So, Eve got the childbirth thing, and that she was to be subservient, her husband was to rule. Is this not the truth? Go ahead. Even the female, shake your head, because it's going to turn out really good. That's right. And Adam, he had to work. Guess what he had before then? Inheritance. Does it say anything about Adam and Eve having any problem with meals or work before sin entered in? Oh, by the way, did they both eat the fruit? Oh, yeah, both of them did. So Adam is now representative of man, spiritually corrupt. He's spiritually lacking because he sinned. And physically, he has to work. He's physically lacking. He's in poverty. And Eve is under his rulership, the guy in poverty. And she has to have the children. Wow. This isn't too pretty. I don't know. Maybe you haven't thought about some of this way before. But this curse thing was bad. I mean, we're used to it. So many people in here, we pray that they get a job. Since you're under, the general curse of mankind and you need a job, you need to work for what you get, we pray you get a job. Isn't that true? But fortunately, here at Frontline, we also pray you get the inheritance. And that you get more than you work for. And some of you have, and some of you will. And it will not only bless you and your family and your generations, it will bless the kingdom. How many are tracking with me so far? We got two people in trouble. They end up having children, and it goes to the whole human race. And God says, okay, let's institute the sacrificial system to try to take care of some of this, but it doesn't really. And women are oppressed by the men because they're sinful now. They're not like Adam. Happy-go-lucky Adam. Hey, I'm glad to be one with this woman. She's the greatest thing I've ever seen in my life. She's my partner, my heart partner, my mate, my helpmeet. Which probably doesn't mean what we think it means. Because the same word is used for God. God is our helpmeet. Same Hebrew word. Wow, how about that? Okay, so, got the problem. How does it get solved? Jesus! Thank you, Lord. 2 weeks ago, resurrection. He redeems all of this. But I'm telling you the truth today. The body of Christ is still catching up to the benefits of it. Let me say it again. The body of Christ is still coming into the revelation of the benefits of it. Because we still think, in many ways, we're under the curse. When we talk about abundance in your finances, some of us get nervous. Oh, you're not going to get into that, you know, name it, claim it stuff, are you? That never worked. You're right. Probably didn't. Wrong heart. Name it, claim it for the kingdom. Right heart. I want you all to be fully blessed. Not so I can get a bigger house and a nicer car, but so that we can build the kingdom together. That's where the blast is. That's where the fun is. More and more, I'm spending less time at my house. Why would I want a bigger one? Just more to take care of. I want more of my time being poured out for the gospel. I want more of my heart being poured out for the gospel. Last week, we heard about what kind of a burn? A Nazarite burn. A heart fully dedicated to God. I don't know what a Nazarite is. You don't have to. You don't have to. Just give yourself to God fully. Burn for Him. Go for Him. Don't let up. Don't back up. Don't back off. Give it all for Him. You got the Nazarite thing all figured out. We're behind as the body of Christ in catching up to the benefits. Why? Well, for one thing, when Mary had Jesus, that was creative. I don't know if you realized. Very creative. Holy Spirit was involved in the birth of Jesus. It established something there with childbirth I don't even fully understand. I don't get that revelation completely yet. But I know one thing, it changed things. It took away the curse of childbearing because there was such a blessing, beyond blessing, that came from that birth. And that kind of inheritance is in all the children that all the Christians have. And that means those babies can become Christians because they're part of Christian families. They have every opportunity to know Jesus. And when He's inside, there's something amazing about that person's life and destiny. There's something to all that. I haven't figured all that out. Is that okay this morning that I don't have all that figured out yet? But I know something. It changed childbirth. When Jesus was born of Mary, a virgin, creative miracle again. Just like the garden. Creative life. Now, with Jesus, even the childbirth. Something new. The woman is redeemed to oneness with God again. And the man, redeemed to oneness with God again. What does that mean? The same for each. No gender bias. Excuse me, God does not have a gender. I'll say it again. God does not have a gender. John 4:24, God is a spirit. I don't know if you know, but spirits don't have genders. They are referred to by pronouns, but they don't have genders. Isn't that true? Something important about that. Because if oneness with God is redeemed and he has no gender, there is no gender with the new sons of God. In the sense that we don't figure that in to whether they're qualified or not to do anything. Or whether they should receive a certain gift or a different gift. Why should all the females get the hospitality gift? Is it just that the males say, yeah, let them have that one. That's a lot of work. Oh my gosh! Baking all those cookies! Since we can't, you know, serve wine, we got to think of a thousand different drinks to serve. Jeez. So people are satisfied. There are men in here that have the gift of hospitality that I have felt very ministered to by their way of serving me in that capacity. They run up and bring a coffee to me out of the blue just because I like coffee. There's a certain gifting there. You don't just do that as a guy, especially, unless you have a gifting. Women were redeemed to equality with men. Galatians 3:28 and 29. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you were baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. That's all of us. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Where in there does it differentiate? Doesn't. Male and female. Equality. When you say that in India, in some places in Africa, they look at you like you are from a different planet. You go to Africa and the women are the ones carrying the heavy loads on their heads. Sometimes with a pad. Sometimes not. They're the ones. And the guys are back at the village, so many of them. Yeah, the guys are out doing the farming. When I walk into a village, a lot of the guys are just sitting there hanging out. And here come the women with the, you know, the sticks to burn for the night, the water to burn, you know, to do the meal. And they got the thing going, you know. And the guys are hanging out. The guys are hanging out. Where are the men of the village? Oh, they're out in the fields. Really? How come they're all standing over there? I'm not kidding. They say they're in the fields. But when we go there, they're there. When we give the drama, they say, well, don't do the drama now. The men are in the fields. We do the drama, all kinds of men are there. When you drive by their fields, they don't look real weeded. I'll tell you that. It's hard to find the field from the place where the crops are, in many cases. So when you say males and females are the same in the kingdom of God in India and Africa, they look at you like you are from a different planet. Because they take this headship stuff, this ruling stuff, serious. But the thing is, it's infiltrated the body of Christ every place in the world. It's infiltrated marriages in the wrong way. We'll get to that. Well, in fact, the next point. Redeemed to oneness and equality with husbands. Ooh, wait a minute. What about all those passages? Women, be silent in the church. Wear a covering on your head and be silent. Oh man, are we disobedient here? Woo, buddy. Women are up here healing during the service. No covering on their head. And they're actually speaking into the microphone. Are we being disobedient to the word of God? Are we nuts to do that? God won't bless this place. I mean, healings won't... Whoops. But the healings are happening. Huh. Maybe there's something wrong in the way we read what's there in the scriptures. Oh, we love to be literal. Until Paul tells Timothy, take a little wine for the stomach's sake. Well, that's not what he meant. And by the way, it was grape juice back then. It wasn't real wine. Even though they had grapes everywhere. Vineyards, you know, Jesus talks about vineyards. They were over there trying to turn the real wine into grape juice. That's an extra step. I don't know. That's an extra step. Now, am I saying, okay, now you're free to go out and drink and get plastered? No, Pastor Bill doesn't drink. Why? Because there's a lot that goes with that, right? For one thing, if it's something in your family line, you become a drunk. Two, the body of Christ doesn't really accept that in the United States. If you're in Europe, you can be a pastor and drink. And I have no desire to. I don't have to. I use my freedom to say no. No big deal. Let's get off that. But anyway. The man, his spirit of lack and poverty physically and spiritually became abundance and inheritance through a father and shepherd who provides for all our need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. But my God will supply all your need through Christ Jesus. See, there's no reason for lack anymore. And in some cases, we can throw ourselves to God and He will give us a new form of work. You go into your job, but it's your kingdom harvest field. No longer is it a job to meet your needs. God meets your needs. You go there on a mission. Whether you have it or you don't have it, I'm free. God can meet my needs. If I have a job or I don't have a job. But this is my mission field. This is the place where I can increase the kingdom. I'm free. You see? You're not, I got to have this job. It's in Tolupito somewhere. I got to go. It's a job. No, you don't. Don't chase after a job. Chase after a harvest field. And God will always give you a harvest field. most of them are right around here. You don't have to run off to Iowa and get to know new people and all of that. You don't. Some of you have learned that. Well, there aren't many teaching jobs in this area. I don't know. I might have to look outside of this area. Well, where's your family? This area. Where's you know, opportunity to be trained in ministry and to go crazy in the prophetic and all that? Well, it's in this area. What's out there? Job. Who says you have to go? Who says there won't be a job here just because the newspaper says so? There is no lack anymore.
Yes, Lord.
God never liked lack. We chose it in the garden. He gave what? Abundance, freedom, a great time in his presence in the garden. That's what he started out with. Abundance, freedom, great time in the garden in his presence. We chose the other thing. And we chose it together, male and female. Both ate of the fruit. We both got cursed. But now, because of Jesus, the curse is reversed. The curse is reversed. The curse is reversed.
The curse is done.
I was going to say it that way too. So, both are redeemed. Both can crush the enemy's head. Genesis 3:15. He bruised the heel of our Savior. He bruised us with all these curses. But we come back in and crush his head. We crush his head. How do we do that? Well, let's see. We have no females ever preach, ever reach out to heal. We have men ruling over them so tightly that they can't reach their destinies. Does that sound right? Does that sound like Father's heart? One of the things that I learned from my sweetheart was if it doesn't match with the Father's heart, it's not him. And at first I was kind of like, but what if it says, like, you know, women be silent? It says it right there. Be silent in the church and cover up your cotton-picking heads. Don't be showing that hair. What if it says it right there? Maybe we need to dig a little deeper. How much time do I have? Just checking. Dig a little deeper on some of those things. Now, we can go through all the cultural things on each of the passages, but at the end, I'm just going to take one passage and put this insidious thought into your hearts and minds that's going to grow, and you're going to start looking at other passages and wondering what they really mean, because we've been taught that there's a male headship everywhere and that mothers, wives, and single gals just don't make the cut. Second-class citizens. You know, we try to make you feel comfortable, especially on Mother's Day. Give you a rose. Give you a flower. I don't know whether it was a rose, but give you a flower. Pat you on the back. Say, thanks a lot. Sure glad it wasn't me in that birthing room, you know. Woo! But I don't think that's what God had in mind. That's not God's heart. He wants to release the daughters of the Lord into their destinies. He wants them to rise up and fulfill all the gifting that's inside of them. Some have been paying the price in history as females to fight against the male headship thing that was way overdone. Here's something from, started in 1859, it was revised in 1870. How many know Salvation Army? How many know the name Booth? Do you know that Salvation Army was front line back then? Because Catherine and William were together. They did it together. Everything together. She preached, he preached, preached, did everything together. He believed that women were just as able and capable. But in that day, her own pastor said that females didn't have the intellectual capacity. Her own pastor said they didn't have the intellectual ability, capacity, to even take this weighty thing of being a leader in the church. They were too ignorant. So she decided to write a little treatise. She wrote him a letter first and told him, that's a bunch of bunk. Well, in the Victorian words of her day. And then she wrote this pamphlet. Now, I don't know about you, but that's quite a pamphlet. That's not just one of these four-page deals. And it's called Female Ministry or Woman's Right to Preach the Gospel. And she cited many women who have paid the price with the intolerance of men and still preach the gospel. Some of them burned at the stake for even, you know, sharing the word of God at all. For becoming a missionary for God, getting into big trouble. And she basically lays it out. It's a classic. Who knew? I didn't know that that was ever done because it's been suppressed by the body of Christ overall. I don't know if you've noticed something, but there's something unique going on in this body, and I bless you for it. It's okay to celebrate it. Because I know I didn't do it. I know Pastor Mary Pat didn't do it. It had to be Holy Spirit teaching us along the way. All of us, together, and we're still learning. We still have a long ways to go. But there's something unique here, that each person is valued with a destiny. It doesn't matter what gender you are, what race you are, what ethnicity. Thank you. Doesn't matter what economic background you're from. We say you're treasure to God. You're valuable to God. And we try to model that when we minister together. Whether it's downtown on Friday night, whether it's TLC, whether it's here, whether it's overseas. We don't say to the girls, oh, you can't have the microphone when we go overseas. You know, silent in the church, ever hear that? Where's your covering? Can't you put on a hoodie? We give them the microphone. We say, preach your heart out. And guess what? Huh? People are saved, healed, and delivered. You would think that Father would say, ooh, 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 I wrote that in there for a reason. Silent, silent, silent. I can't bless this. Oh, yeah? I don't think he wrote it that way. He didn't mean it that way. I'll share that in a minute on one particular passage. You know, I think about my life. It was a woman that took me to church for the first time, my mother. A woman. It was a woman who shared the gospel with me so that I would come to Christ. A young gal in her teenage years shared Jesus with me, and it was as a direct result of that, I received the Lord. A woman had great influence in me speaking in tongues. Huge influence. In my even opening up to that whole subject. I didn't go to the mission field until I had a partner to go to the mission field. Didn't go on my own. Great male that I am. I went when I had a female at my side, partner in the gospel. It was the first time I went to the mission field. And I could go on and on and on and on and on. What am I? You know, I have been blessed by Christians that stepped forward, and they just happened to be women. Could have been men. No problem. You know, we don't look for a particular gender when we look for a position to fill in front line. We look for the giftings. We look for the anointing. It doesn't matter what the gender is. Why is that? Revelation. He gave us that revelation that the nations cannot be reached by one gender. Say it again. The nations cannot be reached by putting one gender in charge. Families can't reach their potential without both people rising up to follow God's best. If the wife says, well, you know, I like that arrangement where he makes all the decisions, because if there's a mistake, I can blame him. Well, that was Adam's approach. On the flip side, how'd that work out? Not so good. Or you might be fighting inside your marriage to be heard, because the male has taken the rulership. And of course he knows all and knows best. You know, my own marriage, I think, how many times has Pastor Mary Pat listened to Holy Spirit, heard Holy Spirit first, and it was the way to go? Many times. What if I had decided, no, I'm the head. I'll tell you when Holy Spirit's speaking. I would have missed a lot of stuff, a lot of good stuff. And then there are those times when I hear and I bring something to the table. Yeah. I celebrate those. But he can speak to either one of us. And the more that I step into that, the better and sweeter it becomes. Iron still sharpens iron. One wife still sharpens her husband, one husband still sharpens her wife. And sparks fly. However, if they're both after Holy Spirit, the sparks make a fire. And you can, you know, tear up a community. You can tear up a nation by partnering together like that. Because you're going to get so much more than double. It's going to be so multiplied. Because the oneness with each other and the oneness with God will just blow things away. But when it's done the other way, you've got half of the equation trying to run the thing. Or in the case of the body of Christ, you've got half of the people trying to get the job done. And if that half doesn't keep up their half, which, excuse me, but the men in the body of Christ have not, that's why all those decades they were trying to tell us men, get in your place and do your thing because we need you. They weren't saying that to the women. They were saying get in your place, but it was a different message. It's revolutionary more than we think. We accept it here in Frontline, but I'm telling you, you're going to run into resistance, especially especially as the body of Christ tries to work in unity across the congregations. You're going to run into situations where you're going to have to speak up against the old system in order to help someone. So I want to give you just one arrow. What time is it? Wow. This was a good idea to start at the end. Okay, here we go. Real quick. Stay with me now. We're going to speed up a little bit. Ephesians 5, 22 through 25. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. Okay, verse 21. Well, let's go to 20. Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Okay. So, submitting is for all of us. In fact, you know, it says submit to God, resist the devil, you know, and he will flee from you. Humble yourself before the Lord. We're all supposed to be submitting to God. And verse 21, and other passages, I have a list of them here. We're supposed to submit to one another. So this wife submitting to the husband is not quite as exclusive as it's been made to sound. Okay? Just that point. And where it says, for the husband, verse 23, for the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Okay. In the Greek, head, they could have chosen, the Holy Spirit could have chosen two words to use there. One means authority, boss, leader. That's the interpretation that we have accepted ever since the New Testament was written, probably. The word is archon, A-R-C-H-O-N, means authority. But it's not the word that's used here. The word that is used is kephale, K-E-P-H-A-L-E. And it's rarely used. What does it mean? Source, like the source, like the headwater source of a river. Source. Let's read it with that in it. For the husband is the source of the wife, as also Christ is source of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Why is that distinction important? Because who was the source of Eve? Adam. His rib, right, was used for Eve. It was a oneness thing, remember? Adam always considered her equal. There was a oneness there because you're bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. And the New Testament tries to get us back to that. You're one. One flesh. When you get married, you're one. Trying to get us back to that. Trying to have this, allow it to be redeemed. So if we read it as source, that's a whole different ballgame. That means, yeah, Adam was kind of, you know, the one that God took the rib out of and everything. That's kind of nice. And Christ, because of his death on the cross, is the source of the church. that adds a whole different meaning. And it's also in 1 Corinthians 11:3, the same thing, same word, head, and same Greek word, source. That should make us look at the other passages a little bit that we have questions about. And guess what? Frontline's okay. Because that silent thing, we don't think that's what it means. Wait a minute, you're twisting scripture. Did I twist anything here? It's a further explanation that we need to explore these passages. We need more revelation, in other words. We need to get it from Holy Spirit. Not from the popular teachers of our day. Not from the ones that they like the whole curse thing with the male in charge and the female underneath. And that sounds great. But it's not going to win the world. Do you care more about being the guy in charge or winning the world? I know the answer from you in this body, I believe. The majority of you have heard this in one way or another, seen it modeled for years. That we want the women, not just on Mother's Day, whether you're single, married, or have a child. We want the women to be raised up to be daughters of the Most High in every way, fulfilling your giftings. So if there's been any confusion about that before, let it be put in the closet or whatever you do with it. Because if I ever get another request to speak at a women's conference, I'm going to take it. Because I have something to say about it. And I don't have it all figured out, believe me. I'm still trying to figure it out with Pastor Mary Pat. We're still trying to figure this all out. Because it impacts every part of ministry and life and marriage and everything else. But I know one thing. I want the daughters of the Lord to rise up. I want them to reach their destiny. And I love it that it's a new day. And that we are going to reach the nations. But we have to make some corrections. We have to. We have to have the men saying this and speaking this. Because if a woman stands up and says, well, you know, this doesn't mean what it says it means, you're fighting up a long hill, maybe Mount Everest. But if a man stands up and he can take all the insults or the, you know, little innuendos and so on, not from this body again, but in the body of Christ, what are you doing? Doing women's lip thing, huh? Are you? Let's just make a statement on that. The women's liberation movement, that was about getting rights. I want my rights, and I'm willing to fight for it. And burn things if I have to. Okay? But the liberation in Christ is about kingdom. And I'm saying, we need you, daughters. We'll never get the job done. We all have to do it together. We all have to become more one. As we talked about before, honoring each other. This is part of honoring. There's a part of the body of Christ that has not been honored. Some of us are still back at the curse. You're supposed to be under the man. Guess what? Jesus released that. We're just starting to understand all the benefits of his resurrection. It's sweet. It's a sweeter way to live. One of the groups of women that are the most abused in the United States, physically abused, emotionally abused, are pastors' wives. What does that say about the body of Christ? Something's wrong. I think it has its root in the curse that we've been released from. So, if and when you read these other passages, and there are many of them in the New Testament that are very difficult to look at, you know, full on and say, how could that mean that and be the father heart of God? That's the point. It doesn't mean that. It means something different. There is a message in it. You don't throw it out. I'm not saying disregard it. We just have the wrong message from it. The message is far different and far better. It's far better. We need to get Holy Spirit's message out of those passages. So if you want to talk to me about any of those passages, questions, I want to face those. I want to get into those and find the Father heart of God with you. Even more so that we can spread what's going on here in Frontline. It's not just that we're the only place that does this. The body of Christ is getting a revelation about this, but you are going to, in this community, in Akron, in Canton, in Maslin, in northeastern Ohio, you're going to run into, I'm telling you, some of the stalwarts that believe the man is and the woman is. I'm telling you. And you need to have something to say to them besides, well, I don't think it's quite like that. We need to share with them what's actually going on when you don't follow that, when you don't go after that way of handling things. So, daughters in the Lord, please stand up. Doesn't matter whether you're a mother or not. Father God, we say to each daughter in the Lord, and we know that they are sons of God as well. There's no gender with you, Lord. We say to them, they are released. Released to their destiny in every way. And all the various things that they have to figure out as far as relationships. God, we're asking your Holy Spirit's wisdom upon them. That they will in a new way be freed up from the shackles of the past. Even if they've already been freed up to one measure, we say more for each daughter here, each son of God here represented in the female gender. We say, Lord, today, a new level, a new anointing, a new freedom, a new release to be all that Father has intended you to be. We bury the curse today. It's buried. It's buried today. And the release is empowered today, anointed today, that the nations will be one, the neighborhoods will be one, families will be turned around, marriages will be freshly anointed, singles will be released in a new, fresh way. Children of mothers will be seen in their proper, creative, miracle way that we don't even understand at all yet, Lord. But we're releasing the old ideas, the old wineskin, and in a fresh, new way, pouring new wine into a new wineskin that can hold it. Can hold it here. We say it is going to be held here in this house, and it will spread from here, and it will affect not only the people it's spread to, but it'll affect the nations and hastening the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not going to wait for heaven to get the full release. It's now, it's today, even more than ever. And we thank you, God, for the revelation. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for revealing new things to each person here and each gal that's standing here today. We thank you, Lord, for your inheritance. We thank you for your fresh anointing. We thank you for your freedom. God, I know the hearts of the women here. They're not wanting to take over. They're wanting to be a complete part of what you're doing. They want to listen to Holy Spirit. So I am not in any way afraid. I'm excited. I'm so excited about what's going to happen in relationships between males and females, relationships in marriage, relationships in the body of Christ. God, this release, let it go beyond these walls, that we truly can be one with you, and we can be used in that oneness to reach so many more that are perishing. Thank you, Father. We put at rest today anything in any heart that resists your redemption in its fullest measure. Thank you, God. Thank you for revelation. Thank you for your love. In Jesus' name, we honor these gals and bless them richly. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Yes, Lord.
You, Lord. I didn't know my husband was going to give a message like this. He doesn't tell me what he's going to preach on. So I'm really blessed. It's not new to me because this is how we live in our house. And I just really encourage you, when you take this message home and think about this, males and females together, and whatever your living environment is, that you would remember the words that Jesus gave us of submission of heart. Because it is very easy. I am a strong, let's take the mountain yesterday woman. It's very easy to step into, well, I have a right. I have been released. And so therefore, this is what we're doing. And so for the women in this body who also see a strong female leader, my word to you on top of this is to take the low road in honor and humility and submission of heart one to the other. Because you could take something like this without a kingdom heart and turn it into, well, now I'm free to tell you what's up. And it just doesn't work that way in Jesus' heart ever. And so when we have women who are stepping in, who already are strong, some of us, and others who are stepping into that, it is a very slick way that the enemy uses to try to bring down the kingdom message. And the kingdom message needs to be received because we are a team. We're a team in frontline. You're a team in the family situations. You're a team as males and females, individually and together. It's how to work that team mentality out that really makes a difference. So I would just add that little exclamation point and exhort you to think on that line, because anything that is not fostered through honor and humility and submission does not lead to a team approach. And there is nothing in the kingdom of God that where someone is standing out as an island. It's always the team. Always. In every ministry at Frontline, in everything that we do at Frontline, we have a team heart, a team approach. It's a team embracing. And that spills over then into the families. And that's on the mission field. That's in, you know, in all that we do in all the ministries. And Pastor Bill alluded to or said something about the heart, the Nazarite heart. You don't have to know everything about a Nazarite heart from the message last week. That is very true in that we are free from the Old Testament, living under the New, but God gave it to us for an example and for a model. So I would encourage you, if you were not here or you missed part of the message, and yes, it did come through me, but it was given by the Holy Spirit, that I would encourage you to listen to it, think on those things. And also at the website, Carl posted this piece of paper that you can click on and you can print off if you want. But if you want to take one with you and read through it as you're listening to the message, then you can keep this. If you should opt to sign it and date it, it's for you. It's not for us. We'll never see this again. But it is something where you can drive a stake in the ground. And to have a message like this following the message on the Nazarite burn, I believe is another kick into the spirit in a higher place that the Lord has for us. Because this message is not just for females today. This message is for males. And there's a healthy approach to how to walk this out here in our own world. It will involve everything that we say and do. And some of us may need to take a step back and say, Lord, I may need to repent from how I've treated my spouse, male or female, if I'm married, or what I have thought or what I have embraced, or what I think about relationships that are coming along that maybe I want to step into, or I'm on the brink of stepping into if I'm single, or whatever that would look like. And then in ministry as well, I think about that. Because some of us are a little quieter than others, and it's very easy to step on someone because we're stronger in maybe our verbal skills or something else, and there's no team approach in that. And so the Lord is saying, take a look at how we are and how we communicate, and I really believe God's going to take us into another realm that way. All of our focus groups should be able to reflect this message, but from a healthy perspective, where we are not walking in fear or with wrong thinking. All of our women and men's groups to come, same thing. So that we're really linking arms. I mean, if you want to see something, honey, can you stand next to me for a second? Take one look. I think you can see some differences. Okay?
Yes, so to you.
Right. And so you can see this, and I can take my heels off and be a little shorter. It doesn't matter. There are differences between males and females, and that should and is to be reflected in all that we are as a female and as a male. Okay, so whatever that means to you, think on that so that we don't go into some goofy realm. I heard him say, or I heard her say, because the Lord says, I have created you, male and female, and in your giftings, callings, and anointings, there is neither male nor female. But you can be sure there are differences between males and females relationally. We preach that in our premarital courses and all of our counseling after marriage. And so we really are strongly backing family, which I think you know. So anyway, just to add that, because it's being taped so that you can listen to it again. From my perspective, and I've never been prouder than to have a husband like this who would stand up. And when he says, you may run into this even in this side of the world, trust me, you will. And so when you walk in love and you walk in kingdom release and you walk in who you really are, then all the looks and the words and the thoughts and the lack of release that might seem to come, you will be able to move with that, women of God or men of God, because you take the higher road of love. And love says, go low and carry a big stick. And that's humility. Amen? Amen. So, in Jesus' name, be blessed. Do we have any announcements for today? Tom? Yes. Frontline Training Center. Da-da-da, here we go.
Thank you.